chapter 4. As you turn into Galatians 4 today, I'd like you to take the back of your bulletin if you take notes on it, or if you have a notebook, you can use that as well. I'd like everybody that has a pen or would like to do this to make a little chart. What we'd like to do on the back of your bulletin or if you have your notebook is to draw a line in the middle of it. So there's two categories, one on the left and one on the right. The category on the left, I'd like for you to write the two words, law slash works. The category on the right, I'd like you to write grace slash faith. So two categories, law works on the left, grace faith on the right, and a line down the middle. And you're going to help me today fill in the blanks, all right? So we'll do that together in Galatians 4. We're going to be looking in Galatians 4 today at the title of the message, Illustrating Law and Grace. And we're going to walk through verses 21 through 31. We will try to finish the text to jump into chapter 5 next week, which is a great chapter in all of your Bible. But today we must walk through chapter 4 in Galatians today. As you're turning to that chapter, I want to read part of Luke chapter 15 by way of introduction. But let's pray together. Father, this morning, thank you for the work of Christ on the cross that redeems man from their sin. We pray today as we trust in you, help us to understand the text clearly. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. And Father, may we walk away with this wonderful sense that when we believe and we walk in grace, there is freedom and there's joy. Help me to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen with your ears to Luke chapter 15 by way of illustration. Luke writing says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." They're talking about they're coming to the Lord Jesus. They want to be close to Jesus. They want to hear Jesus speak and teach. And notice the two categories. Publicans, which are tax collectors, known as thieves, and sinners. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eateth with them." The second category is the scribes and the Pharisees complaining that the Lord Jesus was talking amongst sinful people, and they are coming near him. And notice Jesus' words starting in verse 4, but verse 3 says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying." And remember, the parable says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after them which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons that need no repentance." And you'll notice in the text that he repeats it what a second time with the lady with the lost coin. When she finds the coin, she's rejoicing, and there's joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. The third story is the two sons. One of them that goes as a prodigal into a foreign land, wastes his inheritance on wicked living. He comes home, and the father rejoices in his return. So the story or the three parables are meant for our edification that God loves sinners that repent. But it's meant to rebuke the Pharisees and the scribes who were murmuring that sinners and publicans were coming to Christ. It has two main thoughts. And obviously, if you read the third one, the Pharisees and the publicans would have picked up that they are the older brother who the father had given all these privileges of the law and so forth. But they were murmuring that men and women, boys and girls, were coming to faith in Christ. When we think about Galatians chapter 4, we can see an illustration in this text as well. And the reason I brought that out to you is because the Bible many times will illustrate a point to us to make the impact strong in our heart. And when we read Luke 15, it hits us to our heart because we see ourselves as those sinners who need repentance and a father who's willing to forgive when we what? When we repent. Galatians chapter 4 is no less an example. Matter of fact, it is a marvelous chapter, and Paul does the same thing. In the chapter, if you would, look with me at verse 24. He says, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. Now, this word allegory is used, I believe, only this time in your New Testament. It is translated allegory, and it's the idea to speak or to take something figuratively, or to take it as a what? An illustration. So he's using Abraham, Sarah and Isaac, Ishmael and his mom, Hagar. He's using these individuals to illustrate the two covenants for which we should follow his logic because they are very good. The next thing I'd like to say is, if you look at me at verse 21, he has wrapped up his argument about the superior nature of Christ, especially as it refers to the issue of adoption. And look with me at verse 21. He's asking a question. And he starts it with the words, tell me. In other words, listen up. Tell me. Ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you know what he's doing? He's doing what all of us should do when an individual is caught in some type of unbelief, wrong sin, something's wrong in their thinking or decision making. We should ask them a question. What are you thinking? Don't you understand the law? Don't you understand what's going on? The word tell me here means to speak or to give a meaning. So he's like, listen, speak to me. Help me to understand. You that desire to be under the law, don't you understand the implication of your decision? Let's stop for a second here. I'm going to stay in the text of Galatians. Remember with me, he's already chided them about wanting to do what? Wanting to go back to a Mosaic, let me rephrase that, a system of law keeping on days, seasons, months, and all that, circumcision. And his point is, how is that working for you? What are you doing? Now let's begin the text together. So as we walk through this together, I'm going to have you write down several things in the next few verses on your sheet of paper. We'll begin in verse number 22, and we'll walk through the text together. Verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. So in the first category under law and works, you should write slave or slavery in that category. If you're under the grace faith side, you should write freedom. Verse 22 says, Abraham has two sons. Let's describe what they are. I'm just going to tell you part of the story, then you can read this on your own in the book of Genesis this afternoon. Abraham, remember, had a son with the bondwoman or the handmaid of his wife Sarah. Her name is H-A-R-H-A-J-G-A-R, Hagar or Hagar, however you want to say it. And obviously the situation was Sarah, in unbelief, offered her bondwoman or slave girl or handmaid to Abraham to have a child, which that child is Ishmael, which is a picture of slavery. The next one is, in verse 22, the second son is the other one was of a free woman. And obviously Sarah was not a slave. Sarah was the beautiful wife of Abraham. And Sarah would have a son. We know him as Isaac. Let's continue in the text. Verse 23. But he who was of the bond woman, that's the one under slavery, picturing the law, was born after the flesh. Was born after the flesh. So if you're under the slave, I'm sorry, if you're under the law works category, you should write two words. Self-effort. Self-effort. I want you to think about what I just told you to write down. God told Abraham what? You're going to have a child. And that took faith in a promise that he would have a child who would ultimately have Messiah. But Abraham and Sarah did what? They used self-effort to circumvent it, right? How'd that work out for him? Not very good. And here's his picture. If you think self-effort can get you a ticket to heaven, you're as just deceived as Abraham was, thinking that Ishmael's going to have the inheritance. He didn't get it. So listen to me. When we walk down the road to think, I will enter heaven's gates by my flesh, we have deceived ourselves. You do not enter heaven by your self-effort. You enter by the blood of Christ and faith in Him alone. Now go back with me to verse 24. 23. Who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but of the free woman, Sarah, was by promise. So on the grace faith side, you should put promise. Now let's stop for a second. Abraham was placing his faith in his flesh, his self-effort to get a son. And it did happen, but it didn't get him to heaven. He placed faith in the promise he would have a son, Isaac. And it made him righteous, and it got him to heaven. Let's see this together, okay? Let's go to Genesis 15, all right? This is really, really, really fun stuff. And you may want to keep a bulletin in Genesis 15, because we're going to go back to Genesis in just a moment. I want you to see this with your own eyes, because I want you to see what all of us in this room are tempted to do, and that is we're to lean sometimes on ourself or our flesh and not on God, and it can create great problems. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one is born in my house, is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. Now stop. He's helping Abraham to see what? I will fulfill the promise. You have to trust me. Look at verse number 5. He brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven. Tell him the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. So what has he just done? No, you're not going to have an heir of your own working here, your own desire. I will give you the son. His descendants will be as the stars in verse 5. And in verse 6, he believed the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. So do you know what the verse is telling us back in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 23? Isaac was of the free woman Sarah and was by promise. So when Abraham believed the promise that his descendants would be like the stars of the sky, Messiah would come through them, and his righteousness would come through Messiah, he received righteousness. So listen, there's only two main religions in the world, aren't there? You either have the religion of self-effort where your flesh gets involved and you work your way to heaven, which really isn't working your way to heaven, isn't it? It's working your way to hell. Or you believe in the promise of God, and that promise is Messiah Jesus, that he takes your sin. Let's continue. Let's go to verse number 24. He says, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. Let's stop real quick here. On the left side of the law works, you should write old covenant. On the right side under grace faith, you should write new covenant. Notice with me verse 24. The Bible says the one from the Mount Sinai up, what is that? That's the law. That's the old covenant, Mount Sinai. Matter of fact, if you want to read some really impactful chapters of your Bible, read the chapters that deal with Mount Sinai and the keeping of the law and the giving of the law in Exodus, starting about Exodus 18, 19, 20. It's really cool stuff. But that's not for this message, but that's for your devotion time. It says, which genereth to bondage, which is obviously going back to Hagar. So now we got this picture of the law, Mount Sinai, the slave woman, all of it's a picture of this law works. It cannot produce redemption. Look at verse 25. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and it answereth to Jerusalem. So on the left side of your page, you should write down earthly Jerusalem. Earthly Jerusalem. Listen to the rest of the text. It answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. What is he saying? Paul is saying Jerusalem exists today. Earthly Jerusalem is in existence as Paul writes Galatians chapter 4. It now is. And notice how he ends the text. And is in bondage with her children. So let me ask you the question. When Paul writes, who's in charge of Jerusalem? Rome. Rome is in charge of Jerusalem. She's in bondage. And she is in bondage with her children. So what is Paul saying? He's saying this illustration of Abraham, Hagar, Ishmael, the law, the works, they don't produce freedom from sin. They produce bondage. And if you walk down this road any further, you're going to place yourself back in bondage. Now, I want you to look at verse 26. Verse 26, but, now, just a quick Bible study exposition here. If you're reading your Bible and it uses the word but, you should probably stop, okay? Because he's going to change what? He's going to change his thought. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. So under your grace faith category, you should have heavenly Jerusalem. Under the law works, you should have earthly Jerusalem. So what he is doing is he's trying to picture to them, almost in a comparison contrast, these are the two options you have, Galatians. If you decide that you like to live under bondage, well, this is what you're going to get. But if you want to live under grace and faith, this is what you're going to get. Now, I'm glad you're following me. I know this is a lot of details, but let's go over to Revelation 21. I can read this if you are writing down because I won't spend long. Revelation 21, this is so good. This will encourage your hearts today. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, here it is, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. What does Paul say in Galatians 4, 26? But Jerusalem, which is above. So John sees this New Jerusalem coming down into heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And here's the deal. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Let me ask you this. In an earthly Jerusalem, there's death, there's sorrow, there's pain, and there's tears. But in heaven, Jerusalem, there will be what? He will take away the death. He will take away the tears. He will take away the sorrow. He will take away the pain. It's a heavenly city, not like the earthly one. Let's continue in the text back to Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now, he is quoting here Isaiah 54:1. And he's quoting this verse to kind of give a picture of the history of Israel. And I just want to read a little bit. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but just give you some thoughts, all right? One writer says, well, he says, the quotation from Isaiah 54:1 prophesied the changing fortunes of Israel, which Paul applied to Sarah's history. Israel, before her Babylonian captivity, was like to a woman with a husband. The barren woman was Israel in captivity. The woman bearing more children may be pictured Israel restored to the land after the exile. So in other words, kind of picturing how Israel went in different phases of her life And we all understand that because he's in another season right now. Now, look at me at verse number 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So I want to stop for a second. If you're writing down, you should have under law works like slavery, self-effort, old covenant, earthly Jerusalem. And you should write these next two words, or maybe three words. No eternal inheritance. The law could not give you what the new covenant can give you. And that obviously is the forgiveness of sins in your home in heaven. The new covenant, you should write internal inheritance in Christ, or you could say heaven. So here's Paul's illustration. If you decide, he's saying, tell me, you want to go back to slavery, self-effort, the old covenant, and a life that doesn't offer you the blessings of eternal inheritance? What are you thinking? Wake up! And that's exactly his point to us today. The gospel is powerful, and Paul is illustrating it through the life of Ishmael and Isaac. I'm glad you're still with me because the next few verses are timely, and I'm glad they're in the Bible because of things that are happening in the world today. And I want to just visit on this for just a few moments. It's worth our time, and be a little bold and maybe a lot courageous, all right? So go with me to verse 29. It says, but as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Did you ever see that in your Bible? Now let's just back up a little bit and talk about this. When he says him that is born after the flesh is a reference to Ishmael. Him that is born after the Spirit is a reference to Isaac. Turn with me in your Bible to Genesis 21, all right? Because I want everybody to see this. And let's just clear the air a little bit and hopefully clear up some bad news you've been listening to, all right? Genesis 21, and I don't know what news you're listening to. Maybe you're not listening to news, which is probably better. But Genesis 21. So let's break up the story here and see what is actually happening in Genesis 21. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 8. I do want you to follow along or you can listen. Genesis 21:8. The child grew and was weaned. So who's the child that is grew and weaned? Well, it's Isaac, because God fulfilled the promise to Sarah, and Isaac's been born. Now, notice what the text says. The child grew and was weaned. Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. So Isaac has his birthday party, right? Birthday party's happening. Abraham's there. Sarah's there. Isaac's there. But older brother Ishmael is there, who's a young teenager at the time, probably around 13 years old. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, or Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. So Ishmael at this party, when Isaac is weaned, Isaac is a very young child, Ishmael is 13, begins to mock. This does not make Sarah very happy, which doesn't make Abraham very happy, and which does not make us happy either. I want you to stay there. I'm going to come back, but I'm going to read you the Galatians passage again. I want you to listen to the words. Sometimes we should read the Bible very slowly. Listen to the words. But as then he that was born after the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted him, Isaac, that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So Israel's conflict with Hamas, and I know they're called Palestinians, but it's really a conflict between the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac. Isaac's would be the Jew, Ishmael would be the Arabs, Palestinians, whatever you want to call them. And this conflict has been going on for thousands of years. And it will continue to go on until the Lord Jesus corrects this when he returns. And then you say, Aaron, okay, if that is what's happening, where is the application for you and me? I'm going to tell you where I stand on this. And so you can go to Genesis 12 with me, and I'll tell you why I stand on this situation. Genesis 12, verse 1 says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of the country and from thy kindred, from the father's house, unto a land I will show thee. So God calls Abraham out of the Chaldees to a new place. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thee great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So here's the promise in Genesis 12, 3. See, you may want to write this down in your Bible. It says, and this is God to Abram and obviously to his descendants, and I will bless them. Notice he goes into the plural, that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, Abram, which would be Abraham later, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So the reason why we want to be supportive of the nation of Israel and the Jews in general, God's people, is because God says there's a blessing with it. That's the bottom line. Let me give you just two or three illustrations, and then I want to close this with another illustration to end here. When we think about this issue of anti-Semitism, it's nothing new. I know you guys are watching this around the world and all that, and unfortunately it's becoming an issue. I think the latest stats are talking about how many percentage points anti-Semitism is up around the world, and it's in the hundreds. But the reason why we want to support God's people is because he says, they're the apple of my eye, and there's a blessing that goes with it. So Haman, the Agagite in the book of Esther, wanted to kill all the Jews, and instead he was killed with his sons. Hitler wanted to kill the Jews, and instead he's dead. And those aren't the only two, but there's others in the world. So the stance of Scripture is, I want to be blessed, and I hope you want to be blessed. So we want to bless the descendants of Abraham by blessing them and supporting them. So I could say more, but the message wasn't about that, but it was in the text, so I wanted to bring it out. So you should support the nation of Israel. They're not perfect. We're not perfect. But God keeps records, and I want to be a blessing to them, and hopefully you do as well. All right, so Galatians chapter 4. Back to the text, I'm going to wrap us up with a few more thoughts. The Bible says in verse 30, Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? So he's back to quoting in the book of Genesis. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. In other words, there's no inheritance. Obviously, God spoke to Ishmael and Hagar and told them they were going to be a great nation. You can read Genesis on that, chapter 21. But there's no eternal inheritance through them. So here's what the text is saying. If you look with your eyes, remember in the text, Sarah comes and she says, Oh, Abram, what am I to do with this little boy mocking our promised son Isaac? And Abraham says, Hey, cast them out. They leave. Remember, she leaves, Ishmael leaves, they go in the desert. God provides them water and they live and so forth. So what does that mean for us today? Look at the text with me. What does the text say to do? You are to cast out this person. Who does Hagar and Ishmael represent? The false teachers that are teaching slavery and bondage. Paul is saying in a very allegorical way, when Mr. Bondage knocks on your door and says, I want to have a Bible study, you say, thank you for coming. Paul told me to cast you out. And you cast him out. Okay? I don't know how much more direct I can be. You guys understand what he's saying. Just like the bondwoman gets cast out, you cast out those who teach heresy. You get them out the door. No, verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. In other words, you're not supposed to be under bondage. Why would you let this false teacher come in and teach you more bondage? You're under freedom. You're under the new covenant. You're under the promise. So here's how it closes, which I want to just give you this quick snap to next week. Picture, I should say. Since we are children of Abraham, Isaac, and the free woman, the result is to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know what he's saying? You've been saved by grace. Stand in grace and live in it. Walk in grace every day. Say, Lord, thank you that you've forgiven me of my sin. Thank you that my life has been cleaned up by the gospel. Thank you that you are my king. And walk in liberty. Live in grace. That's what he's saying to do. And that's what I want you to do as well. But you say, well, Aaron, what happens in this life now? Well, I think I've mentioned this before, but it's a great story, so I want to read it one more time. And it's back to John Wesley. He was riding along on a road one day when it dawned on him that for 3 whole days he had passed, which he had not suffered persecution. Not a brick, not an egg had been thrown at him for 3 days. Alarmed, he stopped his horse, exclaimed, "Can it be that I have sinned and have backslidden?" Sleeping from his horse, Wesley went down on his knees and began interceding with God to show him where, if any, there had been any fault. A rough fellow on the other side of the hedge, hearing the prayer, looked across and recognized the preacher. "I'll fix that Methodist preacher," he said, picking up a brick and tossing it over at him. It missed its mark, fell harmlessly beside John, whereupon Wesley leaped to his feet, joyfully exclaiming, "Thank God it's all right, I still have his presence." I say that to get you to laugh, but I also say it because in the text, I want you to look at the text with me one last time. If this passage is an illustration of those who are under law and those who are under grace, those under grace today are still persecuted, aren't they? They are. Make no mistake. You and I who follow Isaac and Abraham, we are under persecution today. And we should be aware of that. If you're here today and you say, "You know what, Aaron? I have no idea what you just said." Well, then maybe we need to come to the cross. And so let me just encourage you boldly, say, listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus who died on a cross like this, buried and rose again, today's the day. Cry out to him and say, "Lord Jesus, I believe. Forgive me of my sin. Save me." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, blessed be your name today. Thank you that you have given us 2 options in the world, one of works and self-effort and bondage and slavery with no eternal home, and one of freedom, forgiveness, an inheritance, and a covenant that is eternal. Help us today to trust and obey you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening so well. I do encourage you to take some time, and I really mean this. Take some time, read Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 21, Galatians 4. Oh, I forgot to go to Romans. I'm very sorry. You have to read Romans 4 on your own.